Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone this morning. You know, as we grow spiritually, there's a line that we have to cross. That is not just spiritual, but natural. And you hear the Bible say, cast your care before the Lord. You know. And I teach our young guys when they want to come and be a man of God, and what do we do? And our first advice is, well, I want you to come and pray, seek the Lord, make your life revolve around that. Spend some hours every day and make your life revolve around that. You don't. If your hour's in the early in the morning, then that means you can't be out till 2-3 in the morning having a good time. And then I just couldn't make it for prayer, you know. I always love when I was in the Bible college and people have excuses. And you always know when they tell you two excuses that neither of them are true. And so someone would come in late for the school and they say, I'm late, I'm sorry. Well, why are you late? Well, there was traffic. So really, you weren't late because of the traffic. You were late because you left with just enough time not to see any traffic. You know, and they leave a minute early. You know, it's like you're a minute late. I had one guy I had to dismiss out of school because we had a policy that if you had five absences in your school year, you wouldn't graduate. And three tardies equaled one absence. And when I first started at the school, I was a little frustrated, like, why do we have these rules? But then you'd have Bible college students who would come to learn about the Bible, but then they'd go out and they wouldn't pay their bills. They'd be behind on their rent. Their house would be a mess, in disorder. And they want to be Bible college students. They want to be preachers of the Word. And so we had to, you know, the best thing, the most spiritual thing we could do for some of the young guys was teach them how to clean their room. You know, when you after you eat, you know, if you live in a house with a bunch of guys, you have to wash your dishes. Because mama's not here anymore to wash your dishes. So one young man, he was late every day, 1 minute. Every day. Tardy after tardy. And we threatened him. You know, said, listen, you got three more tardies and it's over. And every day, another tardy. And he just being tardy. It's like, what's wrong? He's got just 1 minute late. He'd run in the door, the bell would ring, he'd come running in. Said, are you late for work? No. Well, why are you late for school? Just 1 minute. You understand? Just 1 minute. And he racked up. We were merciful as can be. Another young guy I had to call every day. I said, look, if you get one more tardy, you're out of school. So I called him every morning. It's time to get up. I was trying to carry him through his first year of school, you know, because I have to kick you out. So I call him every morning, get up, get in the shower. So this one young man, we had to tell him he couldn't graduate. And his family was really upset with me. And I got a phone call from one of his brothers and chewed me out, just gave it to me. Why you not let him graduate? He paid his tuition. And I said, I know he paid his tuition. That's why you think he would be here. I said, I'll tell you why he can't graduate. I said, it's not because he's he's a great young guy. And he's hard worker, loves God. I said, we love him. But he can't get up in time. He can't get up just 1 minute before. See? Same thing when church is out. Church dismisses. And every church, doesn't matter if it's this church or any church, when there's an altar call, people scatter. Right before the preacher's about to dismiss, people start slipping out 1 minute before. And I'll tell the young guys, what's the hurry? Now, I understand if you've got a roast in the oven, it's going to burn at 12:31. I understand if you have obligations, your family's in town, or, you know, Mama's Day, you know, I can see today, 12 o'clock, if, you know, the preacher goes over, then I can see someone slipping out. My mom is visiting me. I understand that. But on a constant basis, just slipping out 1 minute, 1 minute. What's 1 minute? What's the hurry? What's 1 minute? It's because your soul wants to have one little victory. It says, I'll let you sit in church, but I got to win just a little bit. It can't just sit. It wants to win a little bit. That's why the best thing for you is to sit. It's like my little son. He's like my soul. Always an excuse. But is his new word. Harrison, go to your room. Okay, but. And he's learned. We've had to learn because he's learned somewhere how to stretch out bedtime with his butts. Well, your soul's like a little child. It'll submit as long as you make it submit. But even just 1 minute, your soul has to have a little victory. Praying in the Holy Ghost is the greatest tool in my life to help me grow up. But praying in the Holy Ghost doesn't do all the work for me. See, this is my life. Someone comes up and says, Brother, will you just pray for me? I have all these open doors, and if you'll pray that God will shut every door and just open the only one, then I'll know which one. So just pray that God will shut all the doors. Well, I can't pray that. Brother, will you pray for me that I got this boyfriend and I've been spending lots of time with him, so now I'm in love with him. And he's not really that good for me. So will you pray for me that all the emotions and love that I have for him will just disappear? And then I'll know it's God, that he's not the one for me. See, girls are nuts. Oh, it's okay. They know they are. So that's why we need them. Women are emotional creatures. Girls, you'll fall in love with anything. If you're single, you'll fall in love with anything. Little puppy dogs, kitty cats, frogs, whatever you spend time with, you're going to start loving. That's the nature of a woman. And so you can't think that I'm going to spend time with some guy who's not serving God right and not fall in love with him. I've seen it. I've seen women, young women, like, he's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Ooh, he just creepy crawly all over my skin. Then a week later, she's skipping along, holding his hand, thinking, oh, he's so cute. Why? Because she spent too much time with him. How do I get onto that? I don't know. please pray for me. You get a young guy, falls in love with a girl, it's over. You can't counsel him for nothing. You can say, she's not the one. It's too late. You're already in love. It's over. You're a goner. Why? Because your soul is running you. When you pick your mate, you're not supposed to fall in love. Just fall in love. Fall in love means that you didn't have a choice in the matter. You spend enough time with anyone, you'll fall in love with them no matter who they are. And then you're fighting your emotion, trying to get back. And you got this beast on the inside of you driving you. See, it's because you fed it too much. You can't afford to fall in love with anybody if you're single. Marriage does not have to be difficult. The best way to have a great marriage is marry the right person. If you're already married, then this, okay, never mind. No. I'm not a really good preacher of fixing marriages because my marriage is great. I got a wife that loves me and makes life easy for me, so I can't really tell you how to fix it except just marry the right one in the first place. And it's not that God picks someone for you, but he'll help you pick somebody. See. I didn't mean to get on all this stuff. So you feed your emotion things. You let your emotions lead you, your soul. And then you want to get God to fix it. Okay, God, fix it. It's your soul. It's not his. He can't fix it for you. Now, I'm not talking about damage. I believe there's a grace and anointing coming that brings healing for things, damages that happened to us in the past. When I first prayed in tongues, I let go of my responsibility. Here's what I mean. I let go of things, and I thought, oh, this is great. If all I do is pray in tongues, it'll fix everything for me. And there was a false casting of my care. There's a such thing as casting your care in faith, which means you take your care and you give it to God, and he takes it because you have released it to him. And when you do that, that means an answer's come. But then there is a false casting of your care, which is denial, which is you take the care that you're supposed to have and you throw it in the air and it drops to the ground because it's not in faith and you leave it for other people to pick up. Your wife, your kids, your boss. And so when I first started praying tongues, there was something in me that said, oh, I don't have to deal with my soul anymore. Woohoo! Hallelujah, I just got to pray in tongues. And there's so much, there's such a strength in that. Yes, if you pray in tongues, you're going to become victorious. And you're going to walk in victory over whatever is trying to stop you. But I had to come to a place. Because I thought if I just prayed in tongues, my tongue was like a karate sword, you know. I just pray in tongues, shandarabasa, and my tongue would slap everything out of the way. Oh, there's their problem. Boom, 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 boom. That I personally didn't have to think about any problems or make any tough decisions or make my soul submit. I just had to pray in tongues. But what praying tongues does is it brings the issues, insecurities, and problems to the surface to where you can see it. But then what do you have to do? You have to let it go. You have to kill it. You have to take your knife out and stab that ugly thing in the heart and say, this is no longer me. And I don't accept it anymore. This problem, this anger, this lust, this immaturity, this insecurity, this problem in me, this thing that causes me to lie, to cheat, to do things, this thing in my soul, look at it. Look how ugly it is. Now I can get rid of it. But if you don't, what happens? You stop praying in tongues. And one of the issues I want to address today is this. That you can be in this message of praying and worshiping and fasting, and you can believe it with your whole heart, but if we're not practicing it, then it's just another message. So when these things rise to the surface, it's my issue. It's something that's in me that's rising to the surface. That anger is in me, that lust is in me, that pride is in me, that selfishness is in me. And when it rises to the surface, when I pray and pray, and all of a sudden I see this ugly thing sit before me and it's me, I have to kill it. And if I don't, I'll go into the prayer closet. It's going to keep coming back and keep coming back until I quit praying or I kill it. When you hand over a responsibility to God, a care, my finances, say, God, this is my issue. I need finances. And we hand that over to Him. He'll give us instructions to what to do. Maybe it's to work two jobs. If you wait long enough, you will find a piece, a direction, a step. It's not always, okay, I cast this over to you. Now, if you're single, you can do that. Because if you starve, you starve on your own. But when you're married and you have family, you have a responsibility that you took. You say, I cast this care unto you. And a guy, young preacher, says, I cast this care unto you, God. And they throw it up in the air. He goes, I'm safe. And then they start starving. Well, guess what just happened? He didn't cast his care. He's in denial. See, if you're single, you don't have to worry about anyone else. You just get to serve God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. We'll start in 25 for time's sake here. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give a judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosened. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they have none. Those who weep as though they do not weep, those who rejoice as though they do not rejoice, those who buy as though they do not possess, and those who use the world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passed away, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, when I chose to get married, I took a responsibility as a man. I didn't have to get married. I could have wrestled with my soul enough and made it submit, I'm sure. But I wanted to get married. That was a good thing to have a wife for many reasons. And I remember I went to counseling for one of the pastors I respected, and I didn't know he was having marital problems when I went to him. And so I sat down and said, I'm getting ready to get married. I wonder what you think. Of course, everyone loved Christy. They thought I was be a complete fool if I didn't marry her. And he said, Alan, you're old enough now, because I was 32 at the time. He said, you're old enough now that, you might be able to go on without getting married. He said, I regret being married. My wife fights me all the time for every little thing. I thought, okay, right away I thought, I think I came to the wrong preacher to get advice on, on marriage. He said, you should just stay single. Well, I didn't want to be single. But when I chose to get married, I took a responsibility to my spouse that I would be her husband. I would lead my family, which would be her, into the things of God. Are you getting this yet? That I took that as a responsibility, that I would provide for her and protect her the same way that Christ did the church. From that moment on, my wife, who is a weaker vessel, not meaning that she's weaker, like less than, or, but meaning that her position in the family, see, when you're a single woman, God's your provider. He's your protector. When you get married, you make a man your provider and your protector. So you need to make sure you marry the right guy if you're single. So when you're married, I now have a responsibility that I chose. That means for the rest of my life, I'm no longer free to live in a tent. Because, gentlemen, you can live in a tent, but your wife's not going to want to live in a tent. Well, I'm preaching. I can tell by the lack of amens. I'm the type of preacher, the less amens I get, the better I know I'm doing. Your wife doesn't want to live in a tent. You took her as a responsibility. You're no longer free to travel around the world. Go to live in a little tent in Africa, unless you're... how do I say this right? If God calls you, then you have to go. But in the moment, you're still responsible to take care of your spouse. I remember I was dating a girl, and she said, I don't know if I can live in Canada my whole life, because that's where I thought I would be going. I said, no. So there's no sense dating. Well, I still want to date. I said, no, there's no sense dating because I don't know where I'm going to be living. I want a wife that's going to follow me wherever I go. Whether it's to Africa, to India, I don't need to be dragging a woman all over the countryside. I want a wife who's going to be willing to follow me as I follow the Lord. You can pick a fight for the next 50 years if you get married to the wrong person. Because you still have to follow God. My point here, what I'm trying to make is not in where you go or what you do, but in the ability to not worry about problems. There's a difference between casting your cares unto the Lord than to denial, which is you cast it to your spouse. When we first went full-time, in essence, started traveling full-time, I just thought we'd travel and preach. We'd just travel and receive offerings and preach. And had a lot of churches wanted me to come, had a lot of invitations. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you traveling preaching. I want you to sit and pray and get to know me better. So my first question to him was, well, how am I going to pay my bills? Because that's all I'm good at. And he spoke to my heart and said, that's his problem. My job was to obey him. And he would provide for my family. So I did. My wife, God bless her, followed right with me. Now, if provision didn't come, my wife knew and had security that in me, her husband, who chose to take a role of a husband, would make sure that she would be provided for. Not just a tent. Not living out of a car. There's many people, men who ask their wife to say, I want to be a doctor. I'm going to spend the next 10 years in school. We'll live in a one-room apartment. And we will do what it takes. Where the wife is also all for that. Because she knows her husband is going somewhere. He's not just sitting around. He's growing. Women are amazing like that. My wife knew that it was safe to follow me into difficult decisions. Because in her heart she knew that I had taken a role of provider. And that if I missed God, and when I thought I was casting my cares to the Lord, I was actually just taking care of my own business. See, your soul can make you think you're hearing God. But really, it's just selfish. A lot of people, they're not greedy for money. But it's what the money does for them. It gives them power, see. They think they're hearing God, but really it's just their soul so insecure. They're driving for things. So my wife felt secure even when we didn't have a lot. Because she knew that I was going to be the provider of the family. You don't have a right, husbands. Cast away that responsibility. You cast the care, not the responsibility. You're responsible to make sure your household is provided for. Now, as a faith preacher, I had a little bitty faith. Just enough to pay our bills. And I'm not trying to get anyone into condemnation if you've been through things. In this walk, there's times where we've had to survive. I'm talking about when not the struggle of walking in faith or the struggle of following God. I'm trying to address when a man or a woman let go of responsibility instead of the care. There's a difference. I am responsible as head of my house to provide and protect for my family. And my wife, if you ask her, when we were going through hard times, when following God meant very lack of money, when we were facing losing everything because we were trying to follow God, she'll tell you. You can say, what were you thinking when all that was going on? You know, and she's the one that writes the checks, and so she knows. We were traveling through Chicago one time, filled up our gas tank, and we had $18 left in our whole account. We were in another state. Now I'm talking about our ministry account, our ministry savings, our personal savings, and our personal checking account. $18, that's it. But for the woman, my wife, she felt safe because she knew that was my problem, my responsibility, not hers. in the role of a family, she's allowed to be the weaker vessel. She's not made in a family unit to have to worry about those things. That's my responsibility. So if you ask her what she went through, she said, I don't even know. She knew that what we were going through, but she didn't feel what I was feeling. Because I'm the one leading my family through this. She knew that if all failed, I'd go out and get 4 jobs and make sure that my family was provided for. Now, as a husband, I'm allowed to set the limit of how much we live off of. See, I can say, to follow God, I think we need to live off of this much. Then my wife is allowed to say, okay, in that much that I get to use, she can expect that coming in every month. Even if you're living by faith, she should expect that coming in every month. If it doesn't come in on a regular basis, then man, get a job. Take care of your family. Because if you don't, you're casting that responsibility onto her. You got married. You didn't have to. So now for the rest of your life, you're not no longer free to live in a tent. You don't have to live in a mansion. But you're no longer free to make decisions that are going to cause your spouse to feel that pressure. She's not meant to, you, when you asked her to marry you, you said, I'm asking you to stand behind me as I follow God and to be my helpmate. Then, I'm also responsible to help her to fulfill her call. When we cast our cares unto the Lord, it's by faith. It's through obedience. It's hard to have faith if you're not obeying. You could want to say, I want to live by faith. I don't want to have to work a job. Well, that's everyone in the whole world. Living by faith, in other words, not having a regular job is not a sign of spiritual maturity. It's only a sign of obedience. And not everyone's supposed to do it. Oh, Lord, help me. See, your soul could drive you in the stuff that we're going into. The stuff that this message, and I'm not just preaching to us prayer center people. I'm preaching to everyone who's listening around the world. Anyone who does this message, you're going to find that you're going to walk across these confusion issues of when do I quit my job? Should I quit my job? What's my role as a spouse? What's my role as a wife? What's my role as a father? What's my role of a minister? And I'm just telling you that you are never, God will never ask you to sacrifice your family role because of ministry. And your soul will make you think that ministry means that if you get busy, you can let go of your responsibility and God will take care of it. No. You can cast your cares unto the Lord, but you have chosen a responsibility as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father. You just can't let go. That's your job to make sure it's done. And you will have a happier marriage when your wife knows that you're the man of the house. And she could be safe. When you have children, you didn't have to have children. You chose to have children. I went up to the Toronto Blessing when they had the big revival breakout. Me and a friend drove up. to check it out. And I learned a lot. Maybe one day we'll talk about, but I began to snoop because I'm a snooper. And I asked about the church because it started with just the church. And I found out that the church, who are just church people that God started to move in, see, eternal blessing, they stopped calling revival and started calling it renewal. Because it wasn't so much about miracles as much as it was, or salvations, as much as it was about people being blessed. And the lineup of thousands of people that were in there were good people who served God their whole life but never experienced his presence. So what was touching them there was the presence of God. See? So all these people who dryly served God, were dry on the inside, were getting to experience who he was, his presence. And it grew like crazy. But the people who were part of the church became, all of a sudden, they were ministers. They went from being sitting in the church to being ministers. They went from sitting to being on this side of the green line. So when you go from a church of 400 to all, you know, meet once a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to every night, except I think they took Saturday night off, and not just a two-hour service, 5 hours, 6 hours. And you're pulled from the pews to the stage or to the prayer line because all these thousands of people need someone to pray for them. They're hungry. They're pulling on you. Every night. And you got bills you got to pay. You got a children at home that need to wrestle with you. You got a wife at home or a husband at home. Someone's got to cook dinner. You can't just drop those responsibilities and run across, woohoo, and stand there and pray for people all day and think that those responsibilities are going to be taken care of. Because even if you had enough money, you can hire someone to watch your kids while you go and pray for people all day. But no other woman's going to be a mama to your kid like you can be a mama to. You need to be there. So these are things we have to deal with. If we honestly are trusting that revival is going to come and we're going to have 1,000 people saved every week, what are we going to do with them? Okay, you're crippled. Come up here. Here we go. Pray for them. Get out of that wheelchair. Hallelujah. They're healed. Yes. Now what do you do with them? They're healed, so they don't need a miracle now. Now what? How many of you, listen, I've been blessed these last 20 years not to need a big miracle in my life. I haven't needed a supernatural miracle. I needed the teaching and the discipline and the discipleship and the maturity. What do we do after we get him out of the wheelchair? There's a lot of work going to need to be done. And if we honestly, truly believe in revival's coming, we're a part of it, we better learn how to balance it so that what happens to the Toronto revival doesn't happen to us. Now that church of 400, every night, all of a sudden a workload fell on them to take care of things. But you still have a responsibility. Now if you just say, I just want to be a free floating preacher man my whole life, great, don't get married. Because gentlemen, if you cast that care to the ground of in denial, and your bills aren't being paid, your wife will pick up that care. And then your family's out of order. And you wonder why there's a lot of fighting going on in marriages? It's mostly because things are just out of order. If you be a good husband, 99% of women will be an awesome wife. Anyways. So when you choose to have children, it's your choice. God says to be fruitful and multiply, yes. But it's your choice. We had one couple in our church. Back in the day, they had a belief that you just had as many kids as you want. Or as many kids as God had you have. They didn't have a choice. They were just supposed to have kids. And that was cute after the fourth one and fifth one. And then the sixth one, the seventh one. The eighth one. The ninth one. They started to fill up a whole pew. Then they started, when they got to the second pew, we knew we were in trouble. And the kids were great. Listen, the kids were behaved. They were great parents. And I said, you know, he was starting to get stressed out because you know, some people are made to have kids. You know, some people that's their love is to be big family people. And so all the kids are well behaved, but he was starting to get stressed out from having to make so much money. And she was wore out, and they came and asked me, and I said, well, stop having kids. They said, oh, no, we can't do that. I said, well, listen, if you were to go to bed in one room, and you, Mrs., were to go to bed in the other room, would you have any more kids? No. So you have something to do with this. This isn't just, you have a choice in this. The rest of you will get that next week. Yeah. And they just begin to multiply. You can't bring a kid into the world and turn them over to God. Someone's got to feed them. Someone's got to father them and mother them. Someone's got to spend time with them. That's the thing about kids. They need time. That's all they need. Doesn't have to be great time, just time. When you chose to have children, you took a responsibility. Now, again, I'm not trying to bring condemnation. If you've already raised your kids, this message isn't for you. This is for the up-and-coming ones. When you chose to have children, here's what you did. When I chose to have children, I said, son, because I chose to give life to you for the next 18 years, I also have chosen not to let my ministry grow beyond my ability to be a good father to you. Amen. Because I chose the responsibility. It doesn't mean I can't grow spiritually. See, here's where here's the adjustment I want to get. That means that I can no longer be ambitious in my ministry. I have to be led by God. Because God will never ask me. Now I'm talking about cares. I'm talking about responsibility. God will never ask me to abandon my family. That's why if I'm here, I have a lot of time I have for church people. A lot of time. A certain amount of time during my day. Used to be I get calls in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning. Brother, I just want to repent. I need help. And I'd go rescue him. Be out till 4 or 5 in the morning, taking some guy, helping him out. He's drunk and he wants to repent. The next week he's drunk again. Finally I said, just call me on Monday. Do you want to call me when you're repenting? Why don't you call me when you're sober? and make a real decision. Am I preaching okay? In my day, I have a certain amount of time that I have set aside for my disciplines of prayer and worship. And I have a certain amount of time I have set aside for church people. Now, it fluctuates sometimes depending on. Sometimes I have to, like when I go to Brazil, I can't take my family with me yet. So when I come home, that week after I come home, I'm not praying. I'm not fasting. I'm not spending extended hours in worship for that week. I am rolling on the floor with a 5-year-old boy and making sure I pour back into him. Then after a season, I come back into the... It fluctuates. I'm not trying... But you can't let go of that responsibility. Praying in tongues does not give you the luxury of letting go of responsibility. It gives you the power to be better at it. Someone asked me, said, are you going to have more kids? I said, no. I can do 2. I can do, with my lifestyle, my age, my calling, I can do 2 really great. 4, and what I do, I can't do that great. So I choose 2. I got my boy and my girl. If I had 2 boys, then I may have to go for 3, you know. But just out of my soul, listen, your soul can find a purpose and say, oh, I found a good place at doing something. Your soul will want it to be pleasured. Some people, it's animals. You get 5 dogs in your house, you won't be able to travel. Some people, it's a new car. You got this new car because you want a new car. And now you got this big fat payment you got to make every week. Michael the angel could come and say, I need you to go next month and travel to India. I have revival and you're going to preach it. And you'd say, I can't. I got debt and I have to work. Our soul will trick us into responsibilities that are false just to satisfy itself. See? So when you have children, what I am saying to my son is for the next 18 years while you grow, I will not let ministry rob you of a father. I'm still can follow God. I still can serve God. And I will obey God because I know that wherever he leads me, he has bought provision for my family too. I've been able to travel and preach. I just take him with me. Throw him in the little minivan and off we go around the country. A lot cheaper to fly. But I have a responsibility. See? Someone asked me, said, well, when do you do your extended seeking times? So I don't. Well, why not? See, when we get past trying to prove to everyone you're spiritual, then you can be spiritual without telling people. I said, I don't. I said, no, I can take 30 days and go and fast. I've done that. And I can take the mornings and certain times of the day and disappear. But I come home and wrestle with my son. And I sleep in the bed with my wife. And then in the morning I go again. I can take care of my responsibilities and seek God. But I can't just disappear 40 days. People in the world do it. They make $1 million. That doesn't mean it's right. I'll say that again. That was good. People in the world disappear for 40 days and go out and make money all the time. doesn't mean it's right. We can't let go of our responsibilities. So what I do is, instead of trying to expand my ministry, I spend time causing myself to grow on the inside. See? And what that means is, when my responsibility to my children are finished, as far as, 18 years old, I want them out of the house. I'm going to use Gary Carpenter's dad as my example. Sure, son, you can stay here. It's going to cost you. When my job as spending time pouring into my son to teach him how to be a man is finished, in the sense, when they're young, then all these years that I have held back, letting my ministry pull me further and invested into my spirit, man, I haven't lost one thing. I just lost 18 years of business. And what God's going to do is, he'll give me everything I gave up. Because what causes your ministry to grow is not business or popularity. It's how much of truth you have on the inside of you. So in this finding this balance, when you cast your cares, let me tell you how it works. Real simple. This is your litmus test. You know what a litmus test is? That's when you do a test, I think, and you find out what it is. If it's true or not. An acid test. Find out if you got acid or not. Listen. If God told you to quit your job, and you have a family and responsibilities, the truth of it is, provision will be there. Or he didn't tell you to quit your job. Now, I'm not talking about the struggling to find out how it works and everything. My little wife, she fed us on $125 a month. I know some other people in here, the same thing. We didn't get to go out to restaurants, drive used car. We didn't get to do any of that for a long time because we were learning how to listen and obey and to give our cares to God. But the moment your spouse, your wife, gentlemen, feels that responsibility of provision, then you have to fix it. You miss God. Because you're the head of your house. There's no shame in working a job. People do it every day. That's what you do. That's what you do. When we cast our cares, we don't cast the responsibility. If you don't want to have a responsibility, you want to be free to let your ministry grow, then that's awesome. Don't get married. Don't have kids. I've seen too much damage. Now, you can't manage kids. I don't judge a man by their grown kids. But you can judge a man by a family. We don't let go of responsibilities. We do let go of the cares. You can do it all. You can seek God. You can pray. You can fast. You can worship. You can go on trips. You can go to ministry. You can be a great husband, a great wife. You can be a great mother, a great father. We can do it all. That's part of this walk, is be full and complete and lacking nothing. Praying in tongues has been the best tool that I've in my life that's caused me to grow up and quit hiding behind fake spiritual ministry and being free to do what I'm good at. All right, see you in 30 minutes.